Time. Sweeping left side, 10-5, touchdown, Curtis Samuel, and the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway, he's in all alone, he shoots and scores! Curry blocks the shot, sent Gretzky in, 3-0, Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time is always driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board, everybody. The spring 72-hour sale continues up here. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com for all the information. Come up and see some of the great sales associates when you can. We're at the mothership. We're in the showroom tonight. Got a good show lined up for you. Dan Cummins will join us at 5:15 tonight, the dean of Toledo Sportscasters. A lot going on. Of course, the Rockets win last night. They advance to Quicken Loans Arena Thursday at 6:30 when they take on the Ohio University Bobcats. Other games, of course, coming up on Thursday. Akron will take on Eastern Michigan, Ball State taking on Western Michigan, and Buffalo taking on Kent State. So the MAC tournament underway. Congratulations to Todd Kowalczyk and his crew. They have a big win over the Bowling Green Falcons yesterday at Savage by a score of 77-62. Thanks for bearing with me, by the way. Battling a little bit of a cold here, trying to shake that. So we will get through the hour. Frank Gargano is our producer, our engineer as well. So Dan Cummins, not only to talk about the Rockets, but also a lot of local stuff going on. St. Francis hockey team this week going down to Columbus to play for a state championship. Bowling Green High School gave them, from what I understand, we'll talk more about this tomorrow night with Matt Crandall on Face Off the Hockey Show from Sylvania Tamashanner. Double overtime game. Matt actually called that and said, Mike, this is going to be a lot closer game than what people thought. It was 3-2 final. St. Francis, double overtime. Hats off to the Knights. They're going to Columbus to play for a state championship. We'll ask Dan how that all figures in with his coverage as well. So a lot going on locally. Then David Glazier will join us, News Herald out of Cleveland at 5:35 a little bit later tonight. You know, kind of funny because David was supposed to go on with us last night, number one, to talk a little Cleveland Indians baseball, and number two, to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is his beat. And we got a late text from him saying, hey, listen, I'm downstairs in the bowels of the Quicken Loans Arena, and Andrew Bogut's going to address the media here in a couple of moments. I can't make it. Can I reschedule? Obviously, David Glazier, one of the true friends of this show and a real contributor. We said, absolutely, David. So off he went, and lo and behold, witness a big story. Andrew Bogut back first game, not even a minute into his Cavs career. He breaks a leg. He is out for the rest of the season. Pistons win and win big last night, but still two games under 500 down the stretch. And what for the most part, we have Rod Beard on quite a bit from the Detroit News. It's been a very disappointing year for the Detroit Pistons. Listen, let's face facts here. The toughest competition last year in the playoffs for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I know it was a four-game sweep, was probably the Detroit Pistons that played the Cavaliers about as good as anybody. So that put expectations way, way up in the air for the Pistons this year. They've had an up-and-down year. They've had some injuries. Reggie Jackson, certainly. Ish Smith has come in and played pretty well at times. But it's been an inconsistent year for the Pistons, but they get a big win last night. Boy, I don't know. You know, I am one really never to put a lot of faith in what goes on in the Grapefruit League season and spring training down in Florida or in Arizona. But Lynn Henning yesterday in the Detroit News wrote about it. Brad Ausmus even trying to show some frustration to the media and some other folks as well. Tigers are not playing well. Listen, I understand the starting guys in the lineup, your position players, are trying to get at-bats in, but your pitchers are trying to build innings, but you got to get major league hitters out every once in a while. They got absolutely throttled again today by a score of 11-6. Good news is Verlander, three innings pitched, one earned run. His last spring outing was not good, so a rebound for Justin Verlander. Blaine Hardy, another guy basically vying for a spot in the Detroit Tigers bullpen, four earned runs in an inning pitched. Castellanos had an RBI. Romine had three hits for the Detroit Tigers. And the way that Matuk and the way that Jacoby Jones hasn't been bad, but they got him penciled in center field in Toledo. Matuk, who played his college baseball at LSU, by the way, wasn't too long ago. So did Jacoby Jones. We had LSU's baseball coach on here talking about both those players. At last report, Matuk was hitting .063, so I didn't get a chance to look at the box score today. Romine, another guy that's been thrown into this center field mix, three hits. Anthony Gose, despite his problems last year in Toledo, you got to believe he is back in the mix as well. So Cummins around the corner, going to talk some basketball, some local coverage here around the area, hockey, high school basketball, sectional play underway. A lot of action tomorrow night. By the way, saw Bill Clark last night on television when I was doing a little channel surfing. He emceed the Toledo chapter of the National Football Foundation banquet and did a very good job. Bill, of course, is on this show quite a bit as well. So bear with me. Trying to hang in here with a little bit of a raspy, a cold-ridden, flu-ridden voice right now. Over the worst part, just trying to rebound. Hang in there with me. This show was always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. The springtime 72-hour sale continues. One of my favorites, 2017 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Express 4x4, $148 a month. That is a 24-month lease. Cummins, Zadine, Sportscasters, Toledo, back after this.
It's Drive Time on Toledo's Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on. The low payment gang just had a nice chat with him as he's in the showroom here at the Superstore. A lot of great deals, as always, going on. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. David Glazier, News Herald writer, Cleveland Cavaliers beat writer, by the way, covers the Indians as well. He will join us at about 5:35 tonight. The Dean of Sportscasters in Toledo, Dan Cummins, joins us. Dan on the phone line, of course, brought to you by Vito's Pizza. Ingredients you can trust. Order at any of the 20 Vito's Pizza locations in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. How about this? Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Also visit again, Vito's.com. Welcome, Vito's Pizza, to Drive Time. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Good, Mike. I see you. Typically, you've got everything sponsored. It's like everything not tied down is sponsored in your show. But that's good, right?
It is a good thing, and you know what? And I was telling somebody, it's funny, this leads to a short story anyways, but up on CKLW where I do the Windsor Spitfires games, you know, we own the broadcast. The team owns the broadcast. We pay for the rights, and my job, along with another guy, is to bring as many people on as you can. And I got to tell you, once you get across the Ambassador Bridge, almost every business and every car has a Windsor Spitfires flag or decal on it. So I knew, you know, we were in pretty fertile territory to get sponsors. And the general manager at the station one time says, Mike, holy smokes, I've never heard so many sponsors on this. I said, well, Andrew and I have gone out and, you know, we get a lot of people involved. He goes, do you think it's getting a little bit much? I said, turn on the Tigers the next time. The game time temperature is brought to you by. The national anthem is brought to you by. The umpires are brought to you by. So I think it's a trend. It's not always one that I think was the best trend, but it's the way it is. And, yes, welcome Vito's Pizza, by the way, to Drive Time. And, by the way, Dan, you're on the Vito's Pizza phone line. You know who put this deal together for me? A guy you
Who's
know
that?
Very well.
Who?
Judd Silverman.
Oh, that's right. He's a dealer.
He is one of the franchisees and had one of his great pizzas today in a little bit of a meeting there. My favorite, the Tony Packles Thin Special. Loved it. So I had a good meeting with Judd today. Great guy. Talked a little golf, talked a little sports. Good stuff. Speaking of sports, sir, What a plethora and menu of things you have coming up. Of course, the Rockets, men's and women's, Quicken Loans Arena on Thursday. St. Francis Knights, by the way, are heading down to Columbus to battle for a state championship in boys' high school hockey. High school basketball underway as well. So tell me a little bit about what you and your crack staff, Jordan Strack, have in mind, and what should we be watching for, and what will we be viewing?
Yeah, this week is frightful. It is the single most busiest week of our calendar year in sports. So it's very busy in high school football playoff time in November, but this particular week we're in right now is the busiest because we've got the MAC tournament going, and both BG or Toledo men and women have won. So they'll be playing in one quarterfinal on Wednesday, one on Thursday. If they either win, we've got semifinals on Friday and possibly finals on semis on Friday and finals on Saturday. We've got the girls regionals going in four different divisions. Tonight we've got Jordan's going to Norwalk to cover Notre Dame, and we've got Danielle going to Ada at Ohio Northern. There are Division II and Division III girls regional games, and then the winners would advance to play one on Friday, one on Saturday. It's just insane. Then you add to the mix the boys' basketball, and you add to the mix the high school hockey on Saturday in Columbus at 1 o'clock with St. Francis. If they win, they play at 2 o'clock on Sunday. So Strack is working all 7 days. I am going to be off Sunday this week. Danielle was off on Monday. So we're all just like, we love this, so we're not on fumes, but it's just like it's mentally exhausting. I can't even tell you about Friday because I'm worried more about today and tomorrow. It's just one day at a time.
No doubt about it. It's funny. I went for, and listen, I'm not trying to turn myself into a health guru here, but I've been pretty diligent in my walking, and I was walking with a guy today, and I said, I got to get inside to get to work, and this guy is retired that I walk with a little bit, and he says, work? He goes, I'm glad that's over. And what you just said, basically, for me, it is a labor of love. It can be exhausting. I was just telling somebody here, between the Spitfires, Dan, and this show, I think I've been on the air for 17 consecutive days. So I'm looking for a break. I don't mind doing it, but you're right. It can be a little bit taxing at times. Hey, you mentioned Ada there a minute ago. Out of my curiosity, fill me in a little bit on this, your viewership and all the things you do for sports. I mean, what do you encompass, number one, but I guess more importantly, how much feedback do you get from the high schools in Ada or the college in Ada and, you know, the smaller schools, the rural schools? And listen, you've done a great job covering high school sports and the smaller colleges in this area. Do you get feedback either on social media or any other avenue on your coverage?
No, we don't really do much with Ohio Northern or the Heidelberg, the Tiffins, or the Siena Heights, or the Adrians, the Defiance. No, we don't do a lot because we just can't. We have, if we give a lot of coverage to the high schools and University of Toledo and Bowling Green and Michigan, Ohio State football season, there's not a lot of opportunity to do the smaller colleges. Ohio Northern women, I guess, are ranked number one in the country. The women's hockey team at Adrian is highly ranked as well. We just don't have time to get to it. We've gotten the Owens women somewhat. We've covered a few of their games this year and some of the men. But, no, the smaller schools, we just really don't. But, no, we're in Ada tonight because we've got Division II girls regional, Division III girls regional. Archbold and Ottawa Glandorf and Clyde and Liberty Benton are all playing. I'm not sure the matchup's off my head, but those four teams are playing at Ada at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and then the two winners advance to play somebody else in the next round of the regional finals later in the week. So it just nonstop. Then next week it'll slow down a lot, Mike, because we'll have the boys' regionals and the girls are going to state. The high school hockey's over with. The MAC tournament's over with, and either someone's in the NCAAs and they're moving on or they're not. Next week I'm thinking we'll probably have a UT women's NIT game here, but unless the women win the MAC, but that's just a roll of the dice.
Hey, speaking of winning the MAC, Todd Kowalczyk, again, Dan Cummins joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line, by the way. Visit Vito's.com. Tell me about the Rockets' win last night. Todd Kowalczyk, very positive, his quotes in the Toledo Blade today. That's no surprise. You're going to be saying positive things. They seem to be playing quite a bit better over the last little amount of time anyways. Up against Ohio U on Thursday. Does this have a team chance, this team, this Rocket edition this season, to make a little noise in this thing?
You know, I've never seen a year where, I don't know if the MAC is down, but it's certainly balanced. Akron was the class of the regular season, but I just think, you know, Bowling Green beat them at Akron. They have this huge guy, and he just controls the inside. And the first half, Toledo had a nice lead at Akron, but then suddenly this guy comes on, and they take over, and they win the game. I got to think it's a wide-open tournament. If the Rockets put together three good games in a row, I think they have as good a shot as anyone. I mean, I like the mix. John Williams, Steve Taylor, good players. Kanapke has had a wonderful second half of the season. James Kanapke, the kid's like, what, 6'10", 6'11", and he's getting bigger and a lot of potential, has a nice soft touch around the basket if he plays well. But the problem is they don't have a real true point guard right now, with Jalen Sanford filling in with it. But in their half-court offense, it just is frustrating to watch it, because they'll pass around the perimeter, and suddenly it's the shot clock's under 10, and they have to jack up a three or try to drive and flip a ball up the basket and get it blocked. So their offense is infuriating sometimes to watch, and then they have defensive lapses. Somebody will start jacking up threes and hitting them, and suddenly they give up like 9 points in a row. So Toledo, if they play good perimeter defense and let Kanapke and Taylor control the inside defensively, if they can have a smart game plan offensively and hit some shots, I really think Toledo can make a run and get to, well, maybe the semifinals and maybe the finals on Saturday.
Again, talking to Dan Cummins, Dean of the Sportscasters, high school Hall of Famer here in Toledo. Has done a wonderful job, and somebody I've known, I put my finger on this, 1980 or 81, anyways, joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. And hey, how good is St. John's high school basketball? What do you see from them down the stretch? And do they have somebody who could make some big noise and just keep rolling forward?
You know, I talked to Ed Heinschel about that last week, and you know, they've got Vince Williams, who's a great player, but they have a real good ensemble of players who play well together, and he can play with different kinds of lineups, and he just likes this group of guys. And you know, if there's no real superstar like they've had in the past, now Williams is their best player, don't get me wrong, but if they've got a good balance of like five or six guys that can hurt you offensively by hitting shots, Blake Williams, maybe this is a team that could make a nice strong run. But the thing that is a factor in here, and it's a reality of it, is that in the regionals next week, the regional final, they alternate years, Akron and Toledo, back and forth. This is the year that the regional final is in Akron on Saturday night next week. And so there will be no home court. They'd be playing at Savage normally. And this year they'll be playing over in Akron someplace. So you don't have as big of a Toledo presence there. So I guess you just roll the dice and see if the Titans can play well. But I know that Ed Heinschel does like this team and thinks it has a capability of making the Final Four, yeah.
Dan Cummins joins us here. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King. Ralph Mahalik, coming to you, by the way, from the beautiful showroom. Visit Monroe Dodge or Monroe Superstore. .com, either one of those websites. Before I let you go, I was on the road this weekend doing a little hockey up in Canada. Got home and sat down and turned the television on and was able to catch some of the St. Francis Bowling Green hockey game, of course, from Tam O'Shanter, the district championship. Hats off to Bowling Green. They made it a contest and had a real chance to win it.
Yeah, how many, you know, the history of Bowling Green hockey, of the 1984 national champion, how many guys from the 80s have kids playing hockey at either Bowling Green or St. Francis right now? You got Natashak, I know. It seems there's one more, I can't think of the name. It just seems like that next generation of hockey player from those guys that were around here. And, of course, Ian Duncan has moved to Cleveland. His son is over there with him. But there's a lot of good young players that are part of the legacy of the 80s, of the great years that Bowling Green hockey had under Jerry York.
And you know something, speaking of which, Bowling Green, the Falcons advance in hockey as well. We'll have Chris Bergeron on tomorrow night on Face Off the Hockey Show. I'll tell you a quick one before I go. I went into Oshawa this year, the Oshawa Generals, one of the great major junior programs in all of Canada. Bobby Orr went through there. Eric Lindros went through there. John Tavares went through there. And, Dan, I went in there, and a kid by the name of Kyle McLean and another kid by the name of Jeremy Brodeur was playing goal for the Oshawa Generals in front of about 6,000 on a Sunday afternoon. I said, you know what? I'm getting old because John McLean and Martin Brodeur played goal when I was in New Jersey. You're exactly right. When you start doing play-by-play for the kids that you did play-by-play for their dad, that means you've been around for a long, long time. Did I miss anything before I let you go?
No. Walleye on the road this week. They're coming back home. They'll have a lot of home games later on in the month of March as we wind down the season and get ready for the playoff run.
Nope, they've had a great year. I ran into Dan Watson and Andy Delmore and a lot of folks at the Hall of Fame. Did a great job, boy. Enjoyed that, of course, down at the Huntington Center as well. Have a good show tonight, Dan. Good hearing your voice. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Miller. Bye.
Very good. Dan Cummins joins us here. Again, I apologize. I'm trying to hang in here with some raspy pipes after a little bug that seems to be going around a little bit. But again, Dan Cummins on our Vito's Pizza phone line. Remember, as always, order at any of the 20 Vito Pizza locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. Little TAS Electronics, sports and weather coming up. Also, traffic is brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. This is Drive Time, and it's driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
For annoying traffic jams, it's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board. Dan Cummins joined us tonight at 5:15, talked about local sports, and I knew it was a busy week. Dan Cummins basically said his busiest week of the year in the area. When you talk about MAC, MAC basketball, of course, University of Toledo Rockets, men's and women's, high school basketball, high school hockey, ton of things going on in the area, his crew all over the place. Well, last night we were going to have David Glazier on. He was somewhere between Progressive Field, where home of the Cleveland Indians, and Quicken Loans Arena down in the hallway, the bowels of the arena, getting ready to talk to Andrew Bogut, and had to decline our offer, which we do not care because Dave has been awfully loyal over the last 2-3 years coming on this show. And lo and behold, the first thing we see last night, the Cavaliers, David, I guess struck by a little bit of bad, I don't want to say karma, bad luck more than anything else, not even a minute into his career as a Cleveland Cavalier, gone for the season.
You know, I think that was one of the saddest things I've seen in 35 years of covering sports. Great guy, well-regarded throughout the league, definitely was going to help the Cavs. He wasn't going to be a major component of their bid to repeat as NBA champion, but he was definitely going to contribute, and just like that, gone. I mean, it's just 58 seconds, one play, one athletic move, one meeting of leg and leg, and he's done for the year. Just sad. And you could really tell in the locker room after that the Cavaliers were, knocked down by losing Andrew Bogut. I don't think losing Andrew Bogut had anything to do with them losing the game. I think their failure to control Dion Waiters had a heck of a lot more to do with it than that. Wow. Just 58 seconds and gone. Wow.
No, that is, as you mentioned, when you start saying 35 years in the business for you, and you said it's one of the saddest things you've seen. Listen, I believe it. You hate to see, you know, somebody turning a page and, you know, getting new life breathed into their career, and you got a new setting and new teammates, and something happens like that to go down, and again, done for the year. Tell me a little bit about the game last night. You said, you know, obviously Andrew Bogut going down had nothing to do with the loss. What did the Cavaliers last night not do right?
All right, well, let me explain, first of all, because writing about Andrew Bogut, they wanted a story right away. He talked at 5:45, so basically I'm finishing Andrew's story about 7:10, about 3-4 minutes after the tip-off. And I go out to the arena, and he's not in there right away. And then he comes in, and then right away he's on the ground, on the floor, and being carried off. So I rush back into the writing room, called the desk, said, that story, the upbeat, you know, Andrew Bogut arrived with a smile and a wry sense of humor story, that baby's in real trouble. They just had to carry him off the court. So basically I waited till the end of the game, near the end of the game, when the word came back that the x-ray showed fractured tibia, and then I wrote, did what's called, I wrote a new top for the story. So by the time I got done doing that, I'm out there for the fourth quarter. And I'll tell you what I saw in the fourth quarter. The Cavs la-di-da'd their way to being 20 points down in the third quarter, and then came back like crazy. Got it down to 3 points in the fourth quarter before, you know, Mammy made a couple of late baskets to put it away. Wayne Ellington and Deion Waiters both made three-pointers to, you know, put the Cavs, you know, put the game out of reach. I just, you know, right now the Cavs aren't playing well. They've lost three of their last four games. It's the second time in the last month they've sort of lost interest or lost focus. And, you know, lucky for them, the Boston Celtics have lost two in a row, and their lead in the East Division playoff race is still three games. Now they play six of the next 10 games on the road. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. And I still think that they win the East Division. I still think that they do well in the playoffs, especially once J.R. Smith and Kevin Love are back. But right now, they're just not playing very well. Lucky for them, the next game is in Orlando, and the Magic are terrible. So they'll probably win that game.
Tell me a little bit about Miami. I mean, they've beaten the Cavs a couple of times. They seem to be on a little bit of a roll. You mentioned Boston, and it was you not too long ago that mentioned the Boston Celtics. I want to touch on the Pistons a little bit, who won last night but are still two games under 500. What's going on? What's got into Miami? They seem to be, you know, you mentioned about lackadaisical Cleveland at times. Miami seems to be playing with a lot of heart and a lot of fire. I was looking at some of their scores from their road games. They seem to be in every game if they're not winning every game.
They've won 19 of 23. They were 11-30, and since then they've gone 19-4. So they've turned their season around. They have talent. They can score. They can shoot. And they're playing everybody tough. You are absolutely correct. And they beat the Cavs twice in 3 days. And that's saying something because, hey, the Cavs are the defending NBA champions. No, they're good, and they have a chance. I think, you know, the race for the 7th and 8th playoff spots in the East, a race that Detroit's part of and Miami's part of, that's going to be a heck of a race to the finish. So, you know, I think Miami and Detroit could go down to the last 2-3 games of the season trying to decide that 8th and 7th playoff spots in the East. I like both those teams. I still think Detroit's going to be tough for the Cavs in the playoffs if they have to face them in the first round. Boston, you know, they beat the Cavs the other night. They made all their shots in the fourth quarter. I think they made 7 threes in the third quarter. Isaiah Thomas is maybe one of the 5 best players in the league, certainly the best, quote, little player in the league at 5'9". But I think the Cavs beat them in a 7-game series 5-1, or pardon, 5-1. Beat them 4-1, 4-2 in a 7-game series. I just think they're better than Boston.
Again, talking about David Glazier, News Herald sports writer. As he mentioned, 35 years. This is ESPN 106.5 of the Ticket. Dave joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. By the way, order by phone at any of the 20 Vito's Pizza locations or visit online at Vito's.com. Ingredients you can trust. That's Vito's Pizza. Hey, tell me a little bit. We touched on a couple of these teams. We touched on Boston. How about over in the West? I mean, I'm looking at three teams with 40-plus wins. San Antonio, 48-13, Houston, 44-19, and a team you saw a lot of course, last year in the great final series, Golden State's 51-11. Anybody coming out of the West in your eyes, Dave, that we might see in the finals that could be a surprise?
Oh, all three of those teams are finals possible. They're all really good. I would say Golden State would still be my favorite. San Antonio's always tough. Kawhi Leonard, maybe the greatest player in the game, nobody talks nearly enough about. And Houston with the beard, James Harden, and some great supporting characters there. Man, they're tough. They can score. They can defend. They're well coached. Yeah, boy, that's going to be a whoever gets into the Western Conference Finals. That's going to be a tong war. You mentioned in your intro about all the stuff that's going on, and I'm headed down to Canton right now, south out of Cleveland, to cover a high school basketball game. I just got a phone call from Cleveland State University, as I suspected they were going to. The school has, in a gentlemanly way and both ways, had Gary Waters, the head coach of the basketball team for the last 8 years, resign. So they're making a change, and I start MAC tournament coverage tomorrow. So my head's spinning, Michael. I don't know which way to turn.
No, I get it.
In a good
it's that
way.
Time of the year. Hey, what? I don't want to listen. This is in a good way, and I just talked about that. I tell people I get busy, but I don't think I've worked a day in my life, and that started all the way back in 1980. Believe me, I get busy, and there's not enough hours in a day doing this. And told somebody, I think I've been on the air now for 17 consecutive days. So not only do I have a cold, I'm losing my voice. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but you mentioned Cleveland State coach resigning today. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, Gary Waters has been there 11 years. He did some great work there. He followed Mike Garland, and the program was at a low ebb when Gary got the job. And had some great seasons, took him to the NCAA tournament in 2009, won a game against Wake Forest, got Norris Cole to the NBA, but just the last 2 years have been disastrous. I mean, you know, the program cratered out. They had three really good players transfer. Bryn Forbes, who's now at the end of San Antonio's bench, transferred to Michigan State on a kind of shabby medical leave transfer, so he didn't have to sit a year. And then last year, Trey Lewis and Anton Grady, their two best players, took advantage of that 5-for-4 rule. They graduated and had still had a year of eligibility, so they transferred Trey to Louisville, Anton to Wichita State, and part of the team that probably had a chance to win the Horizon League title last year. This year, they won 8 games and only 4 in the league, and got knocked out in the first round of the tournament. If you mentioned the Horizon Tournament, I heard the promo, Northern Kentucky against Milwaukee. You know, it's in a league with Valpo, you know, that was supposed to be like a powerhouse team. And, I mean, it was there for the doing this year. I mean, Cleveland State just the men's program just imploded the last 2 years. They have a new athletic director coming in, Mike Thomas, who'd been at Akron in Illinois. They have a very aggressive, forward-thinking president at that school, who I know was not pleased with the way his men's basketball program was going. So I thought it was inevitable. I wrote a column to that effect about 9 days ago after their regular season finale that we were probably seeing the last of Gary Waters. Too bad. Class act. Great guy. Did a wonderful job at Kent State in the MAC. Got that program rolling, and then went to Rutgers. Did an okay job there when they were in the Big East, and then came to Cleveland State. And it's always sad to see somebody lose their job, especially a man you like as much as I like Gary Waters. But in the cold, hard world,
well,
it sounds, had to be done.
Yeah. Sounds like it's time. Again, David Glazer joins us. Final question here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Hey, before I let you go, you ever been down to Goodyear there and witness a little? You haven't been down there? Any stories coming out of there now?
I was in Florida, but not in Goodyear.
Yeah.
Budget parameters changed. I wish I could, because I like spring training a lot. I like going to the minor league fields and watching the teams I've covered, you know, the players I've covered doing Lake County captains as they either come to the captains or move up through the organization in spring training. Spring training games are a gas on the minor league complex. But, no, I do not get down there. But the Indians are going to be a good team this year, brother.
Well,
there's no doubt about that pronouncement.
No, I mean, listen, everybody in the world, including you and me, love the Indian chances this year. We just talked about our Detroit Tigers, and you mentioned spring training, Grapefruit League, Cactus League. I know you can't put too much into this, but Detroit's pitching is getting absolutely lit up on a daily basis. I've said it before on this show. I'm not the biggest Brad Ausmus fan as well, so I do not like I make two wagers a year when I'm out in Las Vegas. I wager on the Detroit Tigers over-under in wins so I can sit there and root for them every night, and the Detroit Lions over-under on wins. I won them both last year, so I'm happy to say that. And I just saw Detroit's over-under this year in wins is 82, and the way they're playing, they won't win 62. So I'm not going to say mail it in for the Indians right now, but there is no way possible Detroit is even in the same galaxy with the Cleveland Indians right now.
And they're not. The Indians have probably the deepest starting rotation in the league. It's not just five deep, it's 60. They have an excellent lineup. Michael Brantley, all the signs are positive on Michael Brantley, trying to bounce back from that shoulder injury that basically cost him all of the 2016 season. You drop Edwin Encarnacion in the middle of a lineup that also has Frankie Lindor, Jose Ramirez, Michael Brantley. Man, there's some potent bats in that lineup. Jason Kipnis,
you know, we had Joe.
Yeah,
we had Joe Siddle on, who is by the way, a Windsor guy, former Detroit Tiger catcher, Florida Marlin catcher, who is now the television and radio analyst for the Toronto Blue Jays, Dave, and a deal was made for Encarnacion. We had him on, and I got to tell you, he talked for 5 minutes, and there wasn't a bad thing that came out of his mouth, either as a player or a guy that's going to be a real presence and a positive presence in that locker room. So hats off to the Indians for that. Hey, drive careful. Always enjoy having you on. Somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again. Dave, great hearing your voice.
Michael, it's always a pleasure. You know that.
Dave Glazer, News Herald out of Cleveland. Boy, last night was downstairs and witnessed and wrote about the whole Andrew Bogut situation, and also, of course, I talked to little Indians and talked some Cavs, talked some Mac, talked a lot of different things out of Cleveland. Back to close it out after this. My name's Mike Miller. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. All of our guests, of course, on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. Vito's Pizza. Visit Vito's.com. Back again from the superstore to shut her down after these words.